physicians of bodies and pastors of souls, understand that the most important rule to get the right treatment for those who are sick is that you need the right diagnosis. You need to know the real sickness, the real threat. St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, the church he founded. And in that church, there are teachers, false apostles, who have risen up in his absence. And these haughty teachers claim authority based on miraculous visions and spiritual experiences of ecstasy. To respond to this, St. Paul lays out his own spiritual credentials. Earlier in the chapter that we just heard from, he describes how 14 years prior, he had visions of what he called the third heaven, that he was caught up in a vision into paradise, that he heard things that cannot be told, which no man could utter. Paul says, in a sense, I have had every spiritual experience you can imagine. I've been caught up to the third heaven. I had a vision of the risen, ascended Lord Jesus. But he goes on to tell us what we heard in today's epistle, that he needed to be restrained, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. With these visions came a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn was. We don't know what he's speaking of. Was it a disease, some kind of physical weakness? Was it a recurring temptation? Maybe even a person? We don't know what this thorn was. But we know why it was given. He says, to keep him from being haughty, from lifting up himself in his own imagination. That's the reason. You see, our Lord God is a wise physician. And the Lord knows that even though thorns may pierce and wound, there is something worse. The Lord knows that though the medicine may seem harsh, the disease is far worse. The Lord knows that though thorns hurt, pride kills, haughtiness destroys, boasting and pride and self-satisfaction, the kind of things that can come as a result of great spiritual experiences. Boasting and pride and self-satisfaction, these are deadly. So to save Paul, to save us, God allows the thorns. No parent enjoys having to discipline their children. We know that it must be done, but no one enjoys it. And while they hate having to discipline, having to do that, they discipline. You, I'm sure, discipline because there is something you hate even more than having to give discipline. Even more than the discipline, you hate the thought of your child becoming selfish, becoming cruel, becoming hateful. And so you discipline. Paul has learned from the Lord, there are some things worse than thorns. Haughtiness. Being too exalted in your own mind. Being self-satisfied. Self-reliant. Three times, Paul asks for this thorn to be taken away, and each time the answer is no. My grace is sufficient for you, the Lord tells him. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, throughout the scriptures, God chooses, prefers the weak. He chooses Abram, whom the scriptures describe has a body so old he's good as dead. He chooses him to bring forth countless offspring. He chooses Moses, who couldn't speak well, to be the lawgiver. He chooses David, young and small, to slay giants. And he chooses a virgin, small, weak, insignificant, to bring forth the child of promise. Why? Why choose all of these? It's not a glitch. It's part of the program. So that in our smallness, his grandeur might be magnified. So that in our weakness, his power might be exalted. And ultimately, he shows his power in us, in Paul, for a purpose. And Paul would share that purpose with the church in Rome when he would write in Romans chapter 8, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, to the image of his Son. What's the purpose of all of this? To make Paul look like Jesus. What does that mean? To make you look like Jesus. That Paul, that you, that I might be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Does that mean the promise of material comfort and prosperity? No, the scriptures say the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Does that mean the promise of love and acceptance? No, we heard in today's gospel, the prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his own. Does that mean the promise of happiness all the time? No, the Lord was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He wants every believer to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. He wants him to look like Jesus. Three times Paul prayed. Did you notice that little detail? Three times he prayed. Just as the Lord Jesus in the midst of thorns, looking ahead to a death wrapped in thorns. The Lord Jesus prays three times in the garden. May it be taken away. I don't know what your thorns might be. I don't know what the recurring temptations might be that you struggle with, what the physical challenges might be that you struggle with. Why you are continually overlooked at work, why you have persistent pain, why you have persistent family divisions and struggles, I don't know. But I know that God will use every single thorn for his purpose. That by his power, our weakness is being used to his glory. Our weakness is being used to mold us into the image of the Son of God. You see, we often assume That the point of the Christian life is we need to be strong enough and clever enough. And God says, no, 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 you get it all wrong. You've got to be weak enough. You've got to be dependent enough. All of the Christian life, we are called to be like Paul, to walk with thorns, continual reminders of our weakness. It's built into the DNA of the Christian life. You want to know the sacraments that I celebrate the most in a given week? You'd think it'd be Mass. No. Just about every priest, the sacrament we celebrate the most, confession. After that, for me, anointing of the sick. Two sacraments of utter weakness. Spiritual weakness and physical weakness. In other words, it is written into the DNA of the Christian life that God's power is made perfect, not in our strength, in our weakness. You see, when we're strong, we can easily forget our need, our dependence. When things are going well, we can forget our need for Him and our dependence. When we don't have embarrassing sinful struggles, temptations, regular temptations, we can forget our need and our dependence. And we can forget that the most dangerous disease, the most deadly poison, is pride and self-assurance. Strength is so much more dangerous than weakness. In the spiritual life, strength is dangerous. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose word became flesh in the Virgin Mary, this God is not interested in self-made men. He is not interested in the self-reliant or the independent. He is interested in men and women who bear thorns and who, by suffering, by nights of tears, by days of pain, are being molded, being conformed, being shaped to look like the Son of God. He is making you to look like Jesus. And by His grace, one day, you will see His work, and it will be glorious.